the Clinton Chronicles came out. A lot of you don't know what that is. That's the body count. The documented body count of people associated with the Clintons. But why am I bringing that up this morning? Well, I'm bringing that up because, again, two of the most wicked people took control of the highest office in the United States of America, brought in all their wicked people with them, and yet, somehow, God still moved.
Come on,
man.
Come on.
That's right.
Preach it.
You hear me?
Preach it.
God is not hindered.
That's right.
By an Ahab or a Jezebel.
Say it.
You hear my, what I'm saying?
That's right.
In fact, sometimes he starts waking people up.
Yes.
So that they'll get on their knees and start praying for God to pour out his spirit.
Yes.
To give them grace and mercy. And look. I don't know what's about to transpire in our nation, but I know one thing. I know one thing. God is able to pour out his spirit and send a revival no matter how bad things are. And no matter even if he is judging, even if he's judging America, he still has a people that he wants to bless, that he wants to touch, and people that he wants to save. You hear me? He has not changed. The mission is still to win the lost, to bring the prodigal home, to save the lukewarm Christian from going to hell, from getting vomited out. And God's still going to pour out his spirit on his people. And he promised the darker it would get, the more he was going to pour out his spirit on his people. Isaiah 61 and 2. So what I'm saying is, I don't care what happens over the next few months or the next year or the next 4 years. I don't care who's in power. I don't care who they think they are or they think they're going to do. They will not stop the church of Jesus Christ. They will not stop the born-again, spirit-filled Christians who are crying out to God. And if God wants to move in power, he will move in power.
Amen.
Even with an Ahab and a Jezebel.
That's right.
You hear?
Praise God.
This is something we got to get a hold of.
That's right.
Now, granted, the Bible does say when the wicked are in authority, people mourn, right? We're not happy about it. We don't want them.
Come on.
But that doesn't mean it's over.
That's right.
It doesn't mean it's over.
Say it.
And while Ahab and Jezebel were establishing their child trafficking networks, while they were selling our secrets to the Chinese, the Clintons and Al Gore, God was moving in America. The Brownsville Revival is the longest running revival in American history. You know, 5+ years. At Beat Azusa Street, 3 years. You could say 4 maybe, but 5+ years of revival. I mean, day after day, week after week. And I was there. See, that's why, you know, the Lord told me. I drove to Pensacola every week for months. Then monthly for years. One of my best friends, good friends, was the minister, the children's pastor there. I was there. I met with Steve Hill. I met with John Kilpatrick, the pastor. I met with Lyndall Cooley. I was there all the time. I was in prayer meetings. The power of God was there like I can't tell you. You could stand in the line outside for an hour in the Florida heat and the glory of God would be on you.
Oh, yeah.
I remember a friend of Nancy saying, a guy named David saying he was in the line. He was a backslider. And he was in the line, and the fear of God was on him,
hallelujah,
trembling out in the line. I said, What kept you to go in? He goes, I just had to go in. I mean, he was scared to death, and he wasn't right with God. But the fear of God was there.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And people want to criticize the Brownsville Revival because some people shook and fell down on the floor, but they forget that every single night, Steve Hill, the evangelist, preached, repent.
Yeah.
Turn your life to Jesus. Jesus is the only way you can be saved. The only way your sins can be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you're going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Every single night.
Mm-hmm.
watched it. I witnessed it. I was an eyewitness. Mm. It's not a conspiracy theory. There was a revival in America. While Ahab and Jezebel was in charge.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
So I don't care what's going on. Mm-hmm. But what may happen. Now listen to me. Listen to me real good. I want you to hold your spot. Hold your spot right there. On 2 Kings. See, they're probably chasing after him right now. And I want you to go to Habakkuk. I guess that's how you say it. Habakkuk. Some people say it that way. I don't care how you say it. Little three-chapter book, if I can get my fingers to get to it. Go to chapter 3. Because I quoted this many times lately. On my shirt, messed up. Chapter 3, verse 1, we'll start there. And this was a prayer of Habakkuk, I guess you'd say, the prophet upon the Shigonoth, which I guess that's some kind of instrument, am I right? Some kind of, I don't know, I think it is. Anyway, so he was a musician as well. But anyway, this is what he said. He said, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid." Meaning, I know what you said, God, about the judgment of sin and the judgment upon the wicked. Mm-hmm. Your hatred for sin. That you're not going to tolerate it forever in any person or nation. Mm-hmm. So he said, "I heard you and I was afraid." Because he heard about Babylon's coming to destroy, to invade and destroy. He said, "O Lord, revive thy work in the midst." And he said, in the midst of years. But he's talking about in the midst of those years. Revive thy work in the midst of those years. And here's the phrase. He says, let me back up. He says, in the midst of the years, make known, make yourself known. That's what God does. Mm-hmm. In wrath, remember mercy.
Yes.
Yes.
Somebody say that phrase. In wrath, remember mercy. And I want to tell you right now, that we know because what we know what happened later, God did. Even in wrath, even when he was punishing the nation for its sin and its wickedness by allowing Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon to invade, he protected Jeremiah and Jeremiah's remnant. You hear me?
He did.
And then he also promised them, "I'm not through with you. I will bless you. I will take care of you." Mm-hmm. And you know what happened when the Babylonians invaded? They destroyed the temple.
Yeah.
And God was saying, "Look, I can be with you even without the temple."
That's right. All right.
He was trying to teach them. He was preparing them from something to come, right? That you don't need a temple. The days are coming you won't need a temple because the Messiah is coming.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
And he was preparing them for that. You just need me. You don't need a temple. You don't need those sacrifices. Mm-hmm. You don't need all this stuff. Mm-hmm. You just need me.
Yeah.
And you know what? He did bless them and protect them and sustain them even in that land of judgment.
That's right.
For 70 years.
Wow.
And the ones that were taken captive that grew up in Babylon, he finally what? Brought them home.
Amen.
But God is not hindered.
Amen.
By the wicked being in power.
That's right. Amen.
Now the wicked may try to hinder us,
right,
may try to oppress us, persecute us, even kill some of us, but they will never, ever be able to rid the land of us.
That's right. Hallelujah. Amen.
They will never fully conquer us, and they know it.
That's right.
See, all of this, you wouldn't boil all this stuff down. The wicked, the Antichrist people, the Satanists, the Luciferians, it's simple. They hate Jesus and they hate the church.
That's right.
I'm not talking about the Catholic Church either. I'm talking about the church. The born again, true followers, true disciples of Jesus Christ who follow him according to the Bible.
Yes. Amen.
Not according to the catechism. Or the Popopotamus. <That's>
right.
You hear?
Amen.
The Bible. He said, "Revive thy work in what? the midst of those years in wrath, remember mercy. Now I want to show you something. We're going to go back. Go back to the 2 Kings now. Now let's read this story. Because remember, at this point in 2 Kings, you know, after Solomon died, what happened? The kingdom was divided, right? 10 tribes went to the northern kingdom, 2 tribes, southern kingdom. Judah being one of them, right? In the southern kingdom. Now what happened is, if you go and you read, you study through the Chronicles and you study through 1st and 2nd Kings, one thing you find is, when you know, you'll read about, there was a king in Israel, and he was wicked, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, right? Or you'll see when it said, this king did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, like his father David, right? Well, guess what? In the northern kingdom, they never had a righteous king. Not one ever. All right? They were all wicked and evil. In Judah, they'd have a righteous one and an evil one. And a righteous one and an evil one. Right? That's kind of how it went for them. Never, ever, ever in the northern kingdom had a righteous, good king or leader. Now, having that in mind, Elisha was a prophet primarily to the northern kingdom. And the northern kings. Hear what I'm about to say. Now hear what I'm about to read here. And this one is clear. This was a wicked king. I'll show you the principle of God remembering mercy in the midst of his wrath as well. All right. So we're going to start reading 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. Oh, I feel the Lord on this one today.
All right. Come on.
It says here, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered and all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Now, Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom, right? So, it's pretty bad. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, goes up and sets a siege around it. You know what that means? No supplies in, no supplies out, nobody in, nobody out. It's a bad day for you. All right? Now, when God allowed foreign armies to come in, that was a sign of his judgment. He just stepped back. He didn't do it. He just stepped back and allowed him to do it. So the siege happens. And look what verse 25 says. And there was great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head or a donkey's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. So people were eating donkey brains and dove poop. Okay? That's how bad it was. You say, I'd never do that. You might. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord does not help thee, when shall I help thee? Now I want to show you something here.
Come on.
Even this wicked king, this was a sign of humility. He was saying, I realize I can't do nothing. I'm nothing. I'm nobody.
Right.
You know the Lord will humble some of the wicked. And I'm going to tell you in the days ahead, you think we've had some whistleblowers. This is a prophetic word, I feel. There's going to be a whole lot more whistleblowers. That means people who have been unsaved, wicked, in that system 100%, bought and paid for, sold their souls, are going to finally wake up with a conscience. Why? Because the Lord is the one who stirs the conscience. The Lord, you can have a dead conscience, and if God wants it to feel again and be alive again and know right and wrong again, he can just snap his fingers, it's done, right? He can make you grow a conscience like that.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some people grow a conscience and start telling the truth. Why? Why do I know that? You want me to give you scripture to back it up? Because Jesus said there's no secret that's not going to be revealed.
Right.
Everything said and done in secret is going to be manifested. It's going to be shouted from the rooftops.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
So there's a whole lot more about to be revealed.
Hallelujah.
You hear me?
Amen.
And some of it's going to be really bad, and some of it's going to be good. But there's going to be some things revealed. Now, that doesn't mean Satan's going to stop lying and deceiving people.
Right.
You cannot trust the media whatsoever. You hear me?
Right.
They are brilliant. They're the devil. Really, they've perfected. Because what did the devil do in the Garden of Eden with Eve when he deceived her? He did tell her a little bit of truth, and the rest was a lie. And that's exactly what the media does. Every now and then, you'll get a morsel of truth, so they maintain just a sliver of some kind of credibility, but the rest of it's a lie, the rest of it's twisted, the rest of it's to deceive you. So if you're getting your news from the mainstream news media, you are deceived. People that listen to ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN,
Fox.
All day long, Fox. I'm beginning to wonder about OAN, too. Newsweek can't be trusted. Every now and then, Newsweek publish an article of truth. And then all of a sudden, five more articles of lies. I mean, this is what we live in. But look here. The king was humbling himself. I can't help you, even though I'm the king. If the Lord didn't help you, there is no help.
That's right.
That's truth, isn't it?
That's right.
And that's humility from a king.
That's right.
I tell you right now. Because kings think they can do anything, right?
That's right.
He said, the Lord does not help thee. When shall I help thee? Mm-hmm. Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today. Mm-hmm. And we will eat my son tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. Now listen to this. This is, you know, it's bad when people are eating their own children. Remember the story? There was a movie in the 70s about a plane crash. I can't remember now. They started eating folks. And it's been known in bad famines. You know it's bad when it gets to this point, right? Now we know the wicked, some of the Satanists, they do this stuff. But let's keep reading. But when the king heard this, verse 30, it says, and it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman, he rent his clothes and passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Now, here again, you see the king... Again, his heart being touched by this level of despair and evil and wickedness and it's just horrible, right? And you see him, he rents his clothes, which is another sign of humility, and then he's wearing sackcloth, which back then, if you put that scratchy sackcloth on under your garments, you were saying, I'm humbling, it's like fasting. You were saying, I'm humbling myself before the Lord. But now get this. He's humbling himself before the Lord, or he's being humbled. Right?
Yeah.
But he wants to kill the prophet. He wants to kill Elisha.
Yeah,
right? Because what they start doing, he thinks it's going bad. You got to blame the Christians, blame the church, blame the prophet. Right?
Right?
I got people out there making videos of me of being a false prophet. And yet they got no prophecy that I've given that's been false.
Right.
And then the one of them was trying to say I have a false prophecy, and it's just Bible. They said he didn't warn people about the coronavirus. And I was like, I've been preaching Matthew 24 since I was 19 years old. It says plagues, pestilences are coming. I don't know what else I got to tell y'all, right? But 2 years before it, I said the deep state, the wicked. These Luciferians have said they're going to use biological weapons against us. What do you think COVID-19 is?
Right.
It's a biological weapon. So I've been saying it for years.
Right.
And yet this guy, he's a false prophet because he didn't warn people. And I said 2020 in the thing. I actually said biological weapons 2020. And I shared this in 2018. But I'm a false prophet because I didn't warn y'all about the coronavirus.
Right.
That was his video. Carl the Calvinist. He's just mad because he's not predestined. He's too mean to be predestined Christian, right? It's obvious fruit that he's not predestined for heaven, right? Love you, Carl. Hope you make it to heaven, Carl. Can we keep going? Sometimes I have to dress Carl. Just to let him know he's still loved. Yeah, we love our enemies. We bless those who curse us. Bless you, Carl. Then he said, God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, or Shaphat, I guess that's how you say it, shall stand upon him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. This is church, folks. That's the church, the true church, the prophetic church, the spirit-filled church. The church hears from God.
Yes.
All right? There's a church that doesn't. We saw that this weekend. But there's a church that hears from God. All right? We don't have to listen to Kabbalah spirits. We can listen to Jesus. All right?
Amen.
Kabbalah demons. Those of y'all in here that went, y'all know what I'm talking about. We're as far as it's going right now. We love them too.
Amen.
All right? So he says, Elijah sat in his house, and his elders sat with him, and the king sent a man before him. But ere the messenger came unto him, he said to them, see ye how the son of a murderer hath sent to take away my head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door, hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? So even though they were in trouble, the king's humbling himself, he still wants to kill the prophet, kill the church, right? And they're doing that right now. Boy, the hatred for Christianity, evangelicals, is at the highest peak I've ever seen in America. It says, and while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow. Everybody read, listen to this closely. He said, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Now, this is something, I remember the Lord gave this to me. I was in Nigeria in 2002, standing in front of a bunch of graduate students at Pilgrims University. They're getting ready to graduate. Matter of fact, I was the keynote speaker at their graduation, and they're getting ready to go out to the country of Nigeria, all over Nigeria, and start churches. And some of them told me personally, they felt called to the north. We were in southern Nigeria, in Aba, and they felt called to the north. Well, the north is controlled by the Muslims. And pretty much the Muslims, it's constant war in their elections between Muslim getting Muslim leaders and Christian leaders. And the Christians usually are just Christians in name only. They're usually corrupt. Nigeria has a lot of oil. Nigeria could be a rich nation, but it's all the people there told me our leaders are corrupt. They take all the money from the oil once they get in office. They put it in Swiss bank accounts, and the country benefits from nothing. They get nothing out of it. And I was like, that's a sad thing. And I was there twice. I was there one time when so-called Christians were in power, and I was there when so-called Muslims were in power. And so it's a dangerous place. Right? And they were saying they were going to go to the north. Well, when I was there, there were churches attacked by Muslims, burned. 3,000 Christians were killed, murdered, slaughtered, some with machetes, shot. And I mean, I was there. I was in the south. This was happening in Abuja, the capital, which was about the center and the north. And most of these Nigerians grew up just struggling poor, extremely poor.
Yeah.
And going through all kinds of hell. And the Lord told me, he said, I spoke to him, and I said, some of you are going to be martyrs. You know, I've got people that even come against me because of Pilgrims University. They haven't been there. I've been there. I've seen them praying and weeping and trying to win the lost and starting churches and willing to risk their lives in a mission field in their own country where they're certain to die if they go into a certain region. Don't tell me. I don't care what the Nigerian government says about Pilgrims University. That'd be like asking, you know, Obama what he thinks of our church. You know what I'm saying? But I get that one too. You know, well, it's amazing people like to talk, never been through or been to a place. But I remember one day I was in there, and the Lord gave me this for them. And what it is, and this is something I'm giving to you. and those listening, because I felt like somebody was going to be listening today that needed this, and that's why I think the devil tried to shut us down completely. Mm-hmm. And that is, this situation, mm-hmm. what was happening to Samaria, mm-hmm. to the king of Samaria, mm-hmm. to the people of the north, was brought upon them by their own sin and their own wickedness.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. God didn't do it. He just stepped away. It's amazing if you don't want God, how he will actually step away.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Come on.
But when God steps away, the enemy comes in like a flood.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
The wickedness of man fully comes out when God steps away. God himself is the only really restraining factor to men. God leaves us alone, we dive down into our depravity and wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
It's only by his grace. It's only by his spirit any of us can live at any level of righteousness.
That's right. Come on.
Or obedience.
Come on.
That's why if you drift from God, you will start sinning worse.
Right.
You know, I remember Leonard Ravenhill used to say that all the time. I mean, he may have gotten it from E.M. Bounds, but he used to say this all the time. He said, the praying man will stop sinning, and the sinning man will stop praying.
Come on.
Because the person drawing near to God, spending time with God, is going to get stronger and stronger and be able to resist Amen. The flesh and temptation more than the man who's slipping away and getting far away from God. And sometimes if you keep sinning, God will say, okay, if you say you don't want me, I mean, think about it. I mean, we do this in our human relationships. We get somebody rejecting us, talking bad about us, hurting our feelings, being mean all the time. What do we want to do? We want to hang out with them? No, we want to step away. The Lord's like, okay, you hate me. You don't want me. You don't want my rules. You don't want me in your life. Okay, I'll step away.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that to nations.
Right.
You don't want me? Okay, let's find out how it goes without me.
That's right. Yeah.
See, God doesn't have to do it. Yeah, he could strike them all dead if he wanted to. He just backs up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst thing that can happen to you.
Right.
And he'll just back up. Sometimes it's not that he leaves you or quits watching you. He just backs away. Go ahead. Go ahead with your bad self.
That's right.
Do what you want.
That's right.
Let's see how it works out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, even in that,
mm-hmm.
if the Lord sees the slightest bit of humility and repentance,
hallelujah.
He'll start the ball rolling to fix things for you.
Come on. Yeah.
This is how good he is. This is what I want to say.
That's
this
right.
Even in his wrath,
mm-hmm.
he'll remember mercy.
Hallelujah.
Even for wicked people who will humble themselves.
Yeah.
Wow.
And listen to what he did. He sent some, even though he humbled himself, had the sackcloth on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help you, but the Lord can help you. He was grieved. He was thoroughly broken and upset and even angry.
Mm-hmm.
And sent somebody to kill God's prophet, take his head off. And yet, what does God do? God didn't say through Elisha, let fire come down and consume them all. So that's in the list of things that could happen. Remember, he had double the anointing that Elijah did, right?
That's true.
But just because, I believe, just because of that smidgen
mm-hmm.
of humility that was there,
mm-hmm.
God said, this time tomorrow, in one day,
mm-hmm.
come on, somebody say it, one day.
One day.
In one day.
Hallelujah.
God said, basically, the famine's going to be over. There's going to be bread plenty. There's going to be food plenty in one day. You're going to go from famine, surrounded by troops, surrounded, looking like there's no hope. And in one day, everything's going to change. One day. See, this is what we forget the God we serve. Because when he steps away, it can turn into hell on earth. But when he steps back, he can change everything for you in one single day.
Amen.
Turn your whole life around. Turn your whole situation around. You can go from, like Joseph, the dungeon to the second in command of the most powerful nation on earth.
Come on.
I mean, think about it. In a dungeon, wasting away, and in one day, cleaned up, shaved, new clothes, and dripping and covered in gold. Egyptian gold. And the king takes his ring off and gives it to you. One day. Stop thinking and believing that God can't turn your life around. Your family around. Your finances around. Let me tell you a testimony. I'm going to tell you a testimony. COVID year, right? This is COVID, 2020 COVID. Everybody's losing jobs and businesses. Economy's going down, right? This should have been the worst year ever for our church, finances and offerings. And it was the best.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I don't talk about money. I don't ask for money. I don't take up offerings. That's not supposed to happen. There's other churches shutting down. Going broke. Going bankrupt. Can't pay the bills. Not us. We didn't shut down. We didn't quit preaching the truth. And guess what? People appreciate that.
That's right.
You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now that was this totally against the society and conventional wisdom and what people think you ought to do. This is what I'm saying, though. Stop. Say, even in the midst of famine. What does famine mean? There's nothing. There's no food. There's no way. I mean, when you're in a siege, when a city's in a siege, you think anybody can do business?
No.
You think the farmers can go out and do their business and come in and trade and sell their stuff to the people in the city? They're eating bird poop, exactly. It's pretty bad if you're eating bird poop. And children. Oh, my God. I can't even fathom that. But that, again, that shows how, if a mother can eat her own child, it shows how either how depraved, wicked she has descended in, or that's how desperate she's become.
All right.
Well, she ate the king's child, not hers.
Oh. Let me tell you, one day, one day,
come on, this is the day.
Amen.
God can turn everything around. Stop believing. You say, "Well, this is for somebody out there." There's people out there. I get their emails and stuff all the time. I screwed it all up. I screwed it up. It's all my fault. I did it to myself. I've lost my wife, I've lost my kids, I've lost my job, I've lost everything. And sometimes it's drugs, and sometimes it's alcohol, sometimes it's gambling, adultery. I've lost everything. You know what? Don't let yourself become so angry at yourself. Because anger at yourself then turns into anger at God. You can say, trust me, it goes from blaming yourself to blaming God always. You'll blame yourself for a while. And then you start blaming God, start blaming other people. But all you got to do, listen to me, all you got to do is humble yourself. Say, you know what, Lord? I blew it. I sinned. I brought all this upon myself. And just say, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Jesus. Please forgive me. Help me. Restore me. Just humble yourself. And say, I was wrong. I sinned. Nobody made me. I sinned. I blew it. I fell down. I chased that thing in the world or that lust of the flesh. I did it. I'm responsible. Please forgive me. Please help me. And you know something I've learned? If you start crying out, God, help me, change me, deliver me, set me free from this. I don't want this in my life. And if you're persistent like that, I'm going to tell you right now, God hears that prayer, and he's going to start changing you from the inside out.
Yeah.
And then he's going to turn everything around. And you know what? You might not get back everything you lost in the sense of that exact thing, but God can bless you like he did Job. Job didn't get back the children he lost, but he got more children. You hear what I'm saying? God can restore. God can change everything. Trust me, I'm a man who knows. I've been through that. I lost everything. And it's a rough road when you lose everything. Big house with a pool. $80,000 to $100,000 worth of vehicles. A church, a ministry. My hair. Watch it. That was already gone. I started early, brother. It was just meant to be. But I remember there's been times that it's just like, God, I know what you told me. But it doesn't look like it's going to ever happen because everything's a mess. Everything's a wreck. Everything is destroyed.
Come on.
It's just the ruins, rubble
around
me. And I'm going to tell you, he does.
Amen.
Boom. I remember when I finally obeyed him over one little issue. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't little at the time, but it was hard. Mm-hmm. And I obeyed him. Just one little thing. Just do this. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lord, I'll do this. And that's when, I want to tell you, not even a year later, everything was beginning to turn around. And everything was beginning to be restored.
Thank you, Jim.
And now I'm just in awe. I'm going to tell you, I'm in awe. Because, our church, let me tell you right now, our church is small here. People don't believe me when I tell them that. They watch out there, and I tell them it's small. I didn't believe you. It's small. I mean, we stay between, 30 and 50 people here about that show up on Sunday. But our church family that watches and that, visits us, and I mean, we got a lot of them out there. There's a lot of them. Fire and Grace Church is bigger than people think in that regard. It's just, we have church family everywhere. But I'm just in awe because God is doing what he told me 34 years ago. Yeah. 32 years ago. I remember prophecies he gave. And you sit there and go, impossible. Impossible. I thought that we serve a God that can do the
impossible,
right?
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
And listen to me. One day. You got to have it. I'm going to call it one day faith. One day faith. Well, I've been trying. We've been trying for years to have a child, and we can't have a child. All it takes is one day. One moment, one touch from God. And the next thing you know, Sal just told a friend of his. I remember back a while back, that friend of his couldn't have children. Not Christians. He starts telling them, you know what? The Lord can change that. Jesus can change that. Just witnessing to him. Guess what he just found out the other day? Yep. They've been trying for years to have a baby. Now?
15 years
trying to have a baby. Now, you want to talk about a witness? If they're not saved, they're going to be soon. You hear me? But I believe God did that because you spoke that word to him. That God can change everything. Notice that they're not saved. He did that for an unsaved couple because a believer spoke a blessing and spoke a word of faith to them.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And look what God did for this wicked city. In one day, he turned everything around and he used four lepers to do it.
Mm-hmm.
See, the rest of the story is just as good. Four lepers came up on the camp of the Syrian army and they were all gone. Where'd they go? God had scared them off. And the four lepers came in and found all this food and money and provisions. And they're like, whoa, it's party time. And then all of a sudden, God made them have a conscience. Ooh, what will God do to us if we don't go tell everybody what we found? You know who the four lepers are, don't you? Us. When God starts blessing us. When God starts turning it around. He's got to remind us that blessing's not just for you, right?
That's right.
The truth you've learned. The spiritual, mental, emotional, whether it be truth, whether it be financial, whatever. It's not just for you.
Yeah.
Find somebody to help.
Yeah, that's right.
Find somebody else to bring into the kingdom of God. See, as long as we keep this mindset, mm-hmm. that it doesn't matter if Ahab and Jezebel's in charge, it doesn't matter if we've blown it and our lives have fallen apart and we've lost everything, that it doesn't matter how bad things are, that if we'll repent and be humble and mm-hmm. seek the Lord and love Him mm-hmm. and just ask that He'll begin to restore everything, heal everything, deliver you from everything, change you. Because the bottom line, what you want, I want more than anything. I want more than money.
Yeah.
I want more than anything in the world is God to change my heart. And make it better.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Because our heart's desperately wicked and deceitful.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And it's got to be changed. I'm telling you, when I have struggles with things, my prayer is, please, God, change my heart.
Yes.
I promise you, I am not perfect. My wife can confirm that. Not even close. I have my struggles. But I tell you, when I get serious about God, change me. Please change me. It's not to mean I won't ever do anything wrong again. But I can tell you how many times it's been, I can see God starting to change some things. Question is, do you want to change?
Yeah.
Do you want to change?
Hallelujah.
And let God turn everything around. Go with me to... For some reason, I'm thinking it's Psalm 34. It may be Psalm 37, but let me turn. I got warm in here all of a sudden. One day, folks. Say it again, one day.
One day.
Everything can change.
Praise God.
One day.
Amen.
Psalm 34, I think. Let me see. Actually, it's just all of it so good. I don't even know where to start. Let's start at verse 1. Are you there?
Yes.
Verse 1. Let's read. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. When things are good?
All times.
I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Look at the humble shall hear thereof. Humble. Humble is just saying, I don't have it all together. I need you, God. I'm not righteous as I should be. I'm not obedient as I should be. I'm not loving as I should be. I'm not anything as I should be. I don't see as I should be. A lot of us think we see. But let me tell you something. Be careful saying you see. Because there's still things you don't see.
Come on.
And I'm always saying, Lord, I know there's things I don't see. Please let me see.
Yes.
That's humble.
Come on.
Keep being humble.
Yes.
Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me mm-hmm. from all my fears. What do you have to do for the Lord to hear you and be delivered from all your fears? You got to seek the Lord. Mm-hmm. So if you seek Him, He will be found of you. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
Oh.
All his troubles.
Hallelujah.
Somebody want that out there?
Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
Not just me?
Amen.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him.
Yes.
You hear that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
What does that mean? It means you're scared the Lord will do what he says. I know he will do what he says. And I'm scared of that. In a good way.
Yeah.
Just like I didn't want my dad taking his belt off. Right? That kept me doing a lot of things the right way. My dad was like, don't bring home a C. And I didn't. Right? Let's keep going. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means when things aren't going good. Mm-hmm. It means when everything around you is bitter and not tasting good. Mm-hmm. You got to go to the Lord.
Yeah.
And know and remind yourself, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, even if I brought it upon myself, mm-hmm. the Lord is good. The Lord is good.
Amen.
Oh, man. It's good stuff. Here we go. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want or no lack to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? What? Even when Ahab and Jezebel are in charge, can we still see good from the Lord? Yes, we can. All right? He says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. That is deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? How easy is that? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Mm-hmm. You're either going to be those that do good, or you're going to be those who do evil. You pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Let's keep going. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to say this. Even a wicked king mm-hmm. who had a broken heart mm-hmm. and humbled himself just a little bit, in the midst of judgment, got mercy.
Yeah.
How much more you?
Right. Amen.
How much more now in the new covenant?
Yes. Right. Come on. Come on.
The Lord's just looking for sincerity.
Yeah.
Humility. Mm-hmm. For you to allow yourself to be broken over what you've done, but not to stay there.
Right.
You hear me? God doesn't want you staying there. Because he says he's going to save the such as be of a contrite spirit. Look at verse 19. I love this right here. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The righteous are still going to have afflictions and go through trials and tribulations.
Right. Yeah.
But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Do you notice how many times it says all?
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
And then he reminds us in verse 21. Evil shall slay the wicked. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Mm-hmm. No matter how much these people, these wicked people, think they're winning, mm-hmm. they are the ones who will be desolate.
That's right.
They are the ones who will suffer God's wrath for eternity if they don't repent.
Right.
And he allows them, just like with Ben-Hadad, the king, and the Syrian army, it looked like they were winning, didn't it? They thought they were about to take everything from Samaria. They thought, we got this victory locked up. But one day. And can I say this right now? This is for somebody out there. God's not done with America yet. I know there's a lot of doomsayers out there and say, we're just, you know, the people that say America's Mystery Babylon and it's over. They have no understanding of Bible prophecy. No understanding whatsoever. Right? America's not Mr. Babylon. America's not going to be destroyed. And even if it was, they don't know that Bible prophecy that Babylon is not destroyed until the very last day of the tribulation period. So that tells you they means America's here through the end, right? They got like, oh, America's over tomorrow, and then we're in the tribulation. You got your understanding about what completely turned around backwards.
Yeah.
No, God is going to allow the United States to be disciplined a bit, judged like he did even here with Samaria and Jerusalem later on. But he is not, and he said this to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 5, I will not make a complete end of you. Meaning, there'll be
one day
when God turns it around. Now, it may not be for California and New York. You know, the flyover states might be the ones that get the blessing, because that might be the only thing left at that time period. But God knows how to deliver. He says this. Where's this scripture? Somebody find it for me. It says the Lord knows how to deliver the righteous and preserve the wicked for the day of judgment.
That's right.
See, we forget Matthew 13. Y'all don't mind. It's only 12:20. So, I'm just like I said, I'm keeping y'all from being called a certain denomination. All right?
Second Peter 2:9.
Y'all put that up there. Oh! That was quick. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. See, Matthew 13 told us this. You know, the parable of the wheat and the tares, and this is what I'm going to finish with. Parable of the wheat and the tares, he said, the tares are the children of the wicked one, and the wheat are the children of the kingdom. He said, both will grow together.
Right.
You hear what I'm saying? Evil grow into maturity. Good and righteousness grow into maturity. But at the same time. Mm-hmm. You wonder why our world is divided? It's not black and white.
Right.
It has nothing to do with that. It's not Republican or Democrat even. Good and evil. God and Satan. Wheat and the tares.
Yeah.
The good news is if you're a tare, you better jump on over to the wheat side. You better ask to be made into a new plant.
That's right.
Real quick. Right?
Come on.
That's why we got to be made new creations. That's why you have to be born again. If you're a tare, you better be born again into a wheat.
That's right. Amen.
Lord, make me a wheat.
Yes. Somebody in here said, Lord, make me a wheat. But both will grow together, meaning the intensity, the animosity between the two will increase.
Yeah. That's right.
Until harvest.
Right.
What is harvest? Jesus told us. This is one of the parables where Jesus actually told it, gave the interpretation at the same time. He said, the harvest is the end of the world. And we get to the end, the tares are taken first and burned in the fire.
There you go.
And then it says he gathers out of his kingdom, out of his kingdom all that offend and those that do iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, wait a minute. The wicked gone. I thought we were all once saved, always saved if we're wheat. No, because there's bad wheat somewhere. So it's not just be a wheat. Be a good wheat. Because he said, go back, read. In fact, you put it up there. Matthew 13. He said, then gather out of his kingdom.
Right.
His, who? Capital H, God. Those who offend,
right.
That means those who cause people to stumble,
mm-hmm.
and those who practice iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
And then put them in the furnace of fire. And then shall the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. There's two burnings. You heard it? Or y'all got it yet? The end one about the 30. Yeah, it's all down a bit. They'll get it up there. Did y'all see it? Simple stuff. Seek him. Yep. They shall cast them into a furnace of fire. Back up one. Let's go to 49. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's hell. Jesus saith unto them, have you understood all these things? And they say unto him, yea. Lord, keep going. Oh, well, you need to back up. Yeah, 48. I'm sorry. But that's good. That's preachable right there. But go back to 48. Go back. Go up. I just need to open my Bible, I guess. Because we're all over the place. Anyway, y'all just read it for yourself. Because I'm learning it now. It's all there. It's all there, Matthew 13. 40 what? 41. Yeah, yeah, 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Now, how do you get in God's kingdom? Mm-hmm. You got to be saved. If you're not born again, you're never going to see the kingdom of God.
Right.
You don't enter the kingdom. You're not part of the kingdom unless you're born again. But it says God's going to gather out of his kingdom those who offend and which do practice habitually, that means present tense, practice iniquity, sin, injustice, evil. Now, once saved, always saved, coming out of that passage, isn't it? And I say once saved, always saved, no matter how you live. Poor Carl. Better get it right, Carl.
That's right.
Because I think you're a bad wheat. Good news is that Calvinism's not true, so you can choose to repent. Otherwise, you'd be stuck as a bad wheat. Did y'all learn something today? Let's stand. I want to do revival by Zach this morning. Before we go. This afternoon now. We're going to sing this song. I guess we've come up with a new phrase. Be a good wheat. One day faith. One day. You know, I think about, oh, you know, they blackballed Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, for supporting Trump, you know. But think about that guy. Drug addict. Cocaine addict. Right? Or was it meth? Which one was it? I don't know. He was addicted. He was a drug addict in jail. But the whole time, God's trying to get him free. God's trying to deal with him. And God, while he's struggling in all that addiction and sin, God gives him the idea. He said, God gave me the idea of this pillow. And God turns around and sets this man free, delivers him, and makes him a multi-millionaire success. Kind of sounds like Samaria, doesn't it? God can turn your life around. If you get serious with him, I've said this all for years and years and years. If you get serious with him, he will get serious with you. If you play games with him, he will just step away. And we know what happens. So let's do this song. This is it's a happy song. Revival. And it's a short one. I think it's 3 minutes. Bucko. But this is what we need personally, and this is what we need to pray for the church. Because there's still a lot of church that's asleep.
That's right. Yeah.
Keith Green had a song in the one of the verses said, the world's asleep in the dark, that they just can't fight because the church is asleep in the light. You know you can sleep with the lights on. That's a lot of Christians right now. No clue. They think CNN is the truth. They think Fauci's telling the truth.
Oh, gosh.
I'm about to do something with that one, too.
Come on. Amen.
No, Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Bible is the only fully written truth that exists in the world. It's not tainted by man.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you know the way, the truth, and the life?
Yes.
So glad.
Let's sing the song. Saving us. Thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us when we fall down. You want us to get back up, Lord. You want us to overcome. You want us to win. You don't want us to lose. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you died on that cross and shed your blood, Jesus, to make it possible. You went into hell. You took the keys of hell and death.
Thank you, Lord.
You rose from the dead the third day. And you said if we believe that, and we'll seek you, we will find you, and we will find also the healer, the deliverer, the savior, the creator, the one true God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And your name is Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you for it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I just want to say this, listen to me. There's some of you, and there's even some of you in here, and some of you that have been listening, watching, you feel like there's no hope. You say, I've tried. And some of it's been addiction. Some of it's drugs. Some of it's alcohol. Some of it may be pornography, lust, adultery. You say, I've tried. Let me tell you right now, you better not give up.
That's right.
You never make peace with your sin. The moment you do, it's over.
That's right.
I promise you, if you keep going after God, the deliverance will come. The healing will come.
Amen.
The change will come.
Praise the Lord.
It will happen.
Thank you, God.
You hear me?
Amen.
That's mercy.
Amen.
Undeserved kindness. That's what that means. Mercy. Thank God for mercy.
Yes.
Thank God.
All right.
Thank you, God.
Well, we're going to be dismissed this morning. Y'all know some rules around here.
Hug some necks
before you leave. We have no COVID restrictions.
Say bye
to
the church down the street.